This is John Rappaport, and this is the Solari Report, selling you to you. I haven't made any notes on this. I'm remembering my recent talk at the Secret Space Program Conference in San Mateo. I met some of you there. We had a great time, great conversations, and somewhere in that talk that I gave, I said to the audience, I'm not trying to sell you anything else but you. That's it. That's what I'm doing here. And Catherine mentioned that she thought this would make a good title for this month's report, and I agreed. And so I want to go into that and talk about, you know, what it means. What does that mean, selling you to you? There's a small version of all of us, the roles we play, the scripts we follow, as part of, society, groups, etc., etc., how we fit in. Oh, yes, I'm fitting in. Yes, things are good. Yes, I'm fitting in pretty well. Well, last week I made a couple of mistakes and alerted people possibly to the fact that I wasn't fitting in, and they kind of looked at me like I was crazy for a few seconds. But then I managed to put myself back together and fit in again, and then everything seemed to be okay. I don't think I was noticed. I don't think anybody saw me jump out of character there. Yes. I think I was still little me in the role, and I escaped surveillance by my fellow humans. There's that kind of thing. Happens every once in a while to people. They're going along, tickety-tock, zip-bip-bip-bip-bip, everything's fine. Conversations are going normally. Yes, and how are you? Well, fine. Yes, and of course. And isn't that interesting? Yes. Very interesting. And then somebody says something that cuts through all that. Could be anything. Doesn't have to be about politics or economics. It's just enough to alert the attentive listener, if there are any available, which many times there are not, that this person suddenly stepped out of their assigned role in the stage play. Hey, he wasn't speaking his lines there. Did you catch that? Yeah, I mean, we've been rehearsing and rehearsing, and all of a sudden he went out of character. He slipped right back in, but it was kind of shocking. Very shocking indeed. Yes, indeed. Very, very, very shocking. That's not the you that I'm selling to you. That's the you that is, you know, part of the scene, part of the landscape, part of the painting, part of the, shall I say, pretension? It's not exactly pretension. It's a way of fitting in, getting along, going along, making things happen in a way that's okay for everybody else. Yes, everything must be okay for everybody else. Well, let's see now. What did I just say there? What am I thinking now? Is that going to be okay for everybody else? That becomes the standard that people use to judge their messages, communications, and so on and so forth. Is it going to be okay for everybody else, or is it not going to be okay? And let's see. Let me roll this one around here, these three sentences that I'm about to say, and could be borderline. Yeah. Could be borderline, dicey, a little bit risky. Let me dial it back. No, that's not the you that I'm selling to you. The problem is that many people don't even know that there is another you. I'm not talking about schizophrenia here, okay? I'm talking about the same you, but with a much larger role in the stage play. That's all. In fact, when you take on a much larger role in the stage play, you feel, sense, understand that you are being more you than ever before. So it's not like a sudden dislocation where I'm being somebody and I don't know who he is. No, it's nothing like that at all. In fact, it's the air and atmosphere of familiarity is quite fantastic. Oh, well, yeah, this is me. How could I have forgotten? This is me in the larger role in the stage play. In fact, even the larger role is me outside the stage play altogether looking at it. That's really me. That's the you that I'm selling to you. The you that's outside the stage play of society and groups and convention and standards of restrictive behavior and so on and so forth. And still yet, for many people, that's a quite unfamiliar you. Not sure about that one. Don't know how that one exactly works. Don't know how to access it. Don't know where to go with that, et cetera, et cetera. And what I told people at the conference of San Mateo was, if you're not working with your own imagination, you're not going to get to the bigger you, the real you. Just not going to happen. Why? Because for one thing, imagination is a place, kind of a bullpen, where we stash everything that we consider to be improbable, impossible, difficult, dicey, doesn't fit in, different, unique, et cetera, et cetera. And because we stash all that stuff there and try to label it imaginary, you see, it's only imaginary, all of that, then how are we going to get back to it and understand that it's really us as individuals unless we can somehow access imagination? Because that's the bullpen where it's all stashed. That's where we put it. That becomes problematic for many people because when you say imagination to them, they immediately flash on something that they were doing when they were 8 years old, making up stories, making up games, making up people, making up situations, making up futures with very vivid content. And, of course, they consider that they have outgrown all that, and now, as very sober adults, they have to take their small role in the stage play. So when you say imagination to many people, that's what they flash on, that's where they go, and then they reject it as something that's only suitable for children. Well, in one sense, they're right, because children don't have to deal, or let's say many children don't have to deal with the realities of society when they're 8 years old. Some do. Some don't. So it's much easier for many children to imagine, fantasize, play, because there are no consequences, particularly except the thrill of inventing other worlds, you know, of essentially being an artist in action, on the move, on the run, building, constructing, designing, creating, improvising, new personae, new characters, new games, new roles, new ideas, new futures, new everything. But if you kill that off in yourself, you're done until you unkill it. And it can be resurrected from the grave, imagination. But as long as it's in the grave, you're dead. Energy becomes kind of automatic. It declines, it runs down. Life begins to run down like an old clock, slowly, tick, 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 tick. People then begin to rationalize why that's happening. Well, that's just the way things are. Everybody gets sick. Everybody just goes downhill. I'm getting old. I'm not what I used to be. Things aren't the way they used to be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm selling you the you that has unbounded, powerful, energetic, thrilling, ecstatic imagination. That's the you that I'm selling you. And I'm selling it to you because I've seen it in you. I'm not selling you something that doesn't exist. And one of the reasons that I'm selling it to you, aside from the fact that it is you, which is a pretty good reason when you stop and think about it, is because that you can make changes in the world. And how I approached the talk in San Mateo was, I said, look, confronted with all of this information about a secret space program and black budget ops and trillions of dollars being deflected and stolen and channeled into projects that are being kept secret from the public and so on, it's obvious at some point that one would ask the question, what can we do about it, or what can I do about it? And so I said to the audience, that's a very tricky question because it all revolves and rotates upon to whom is that question being addressed? In other words, when you say, well, what can we do or what can I do? To whom are you asking that question? That's the crux. That's the entire crux of the matter. And in truth, most people misidentify the target of the question. They think that they're asking an expert or an authority or somebody that seems to have answers, et cetera, but really they're asking themselves. And that's what a lot of people don't want to face up to. They're asking themselves, what can I do about it? And once you get that straight, a lot of things potentially can fall into place for you. Because you say, okay, that's what I'm asking myself. What can I do? I can't blame anybody else now if answers are not forthcoming. I can't say, well, it's Joe's fault or Sam's fault or Gladys's fault because they're not giving the answers to the question, what can I do? No, I'm asking myself the question, what can I do about all of this? Essentially, what can I do about the world as it is? What can I do about it? I'm asking myself that question. That's kind of a revelation to understand that. Because now, the responsibility, for one, is on my shoulders to give an answer to that. And it's not going to be a brush-off, quick-hitter answer. Because the answer to that question is going to take some reflection and digging. I'm going to actually have to spend time introspecting. I might even have to write notes. I might even have to, I don't know, what else might I have to do? This is going to take some investigation by me to come up with the answer to the question that I was actually asking myself. What can I do? It's my question. Wow. And it's my answer. Wow. Ding, 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 ding. New reality. It's my question. It's my answer. And again, we come back to imagination, because how in the world are you going to answer that question, what can I do, if you don't consult your own imagination, if you don't access your own imagination? Because the answer and answers to that question are all there in imagination. In other words, you have to dream up something that you can do. You have to do that. Some idea, some strategy, some plan, some event, some process, some project, some enterprise. It can be as big as you want it to be, and it will change your life. Because you're going to be implementing it. You're not just going to be dreaming about it. Some people say, well, if I dream about it, is that enough? You know, and they're asking that to somebody else who they want to say, yes, my boy, my girl, that's quite enough. All you have to do is just dream about the answer to the question and everything will come to pass. Voila. Sorry, not the way it works. So to dream up the answer to the question, what can I do? You have to engage with your imagination. Well, how do I do that? What do I do? How do I do it? Well, how do you do it? How do you dream up something that doesn't already exist? Because that's what we're talking about. You're asking yourself, what can I do? And your response to that is going to be to come up with something that isn't already happening. Right? How do you do that? How do you imagine that? Well, you write about it. You think about it. You get involved with the answer. It's refamiliarizing yourself with a faculty which, in fact, you do possess, to dream up solutions and ideas and enterprises that will change things at a very basic level. This is a faculty that you possess, an ability that you, in fact, do possess. And whether or not you have been engaged with it recently or for a very long time really makes no difference. It's there. It's waiting for you. But you have to dig for it and you have to get involved with it. And there isn't a solid gold pattern or system of steps, 1 through 7. If you do these things, you will find the answer and then implement it. I wave my wand. It is so. No. No, 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 no. Not happening. Not the way it works, you see. In the same way that art doesn't work that way. When the painter is in front of his canvas, it is not just a process of unfolding a preconceived pattern replicated to a T. Things happen in the process of painting on the canvas, new ideas, new possibilities, rejection of the old, enter the new. Okay, well, let me paint out this section because I can see now that I painted this figure over here that that's completely irrelevant, and this is much better over here on the right than what I was doing on the left, so let me just go, oh, but wait a minute, that one figure over on the left, yeah, she seems to have some something. I'm going to leave her. I don't know what I'm going to do with her. And then I've got the figure on the right. Okay, so what am I going to do here in the middle? You see, it's that kind of unfolding process that has no particular system. That's the process of engaging with yourself to come up with the answer of what do I do? What can I do? What new enterprise can I foment and plan and improvise and invent that I can then go for? Commit myself to. This is taking a giant step. This is finding a level of commitment that one is not ordinarily used to. But the process itself of devising, creating a living answer to the question, what can I do? In the form of a project or enterprise, that's the dig. That's the archaeological dig. That's the journey into the future. That's the dealing with the present. That's time travel, space travel. That's all that sort of stuff, which is really imagination rolled up into one. That's the you that I'm selling to you. That is the you that I'm interested in. That's the only you that I'm interested in. That's the only me that I'm interested in. That's why I know it's the only you that I'm interested in. Because that's power. That's gorgeous power. Visible. Tremendous. Thrilling. One of the great things that I experienced at the San Mateo conference was sitting down and chatting informally for hours with other speakers, people who had been launched for a very long time into their own fields of investigation, who were succeeding against, you might say, all odds, because they weren't part of, and they aren't part of the establishment. They're not part of, you know, the academy. the university, the accepted journals, the publishing houses that print what people want to read and hear. Not part of the media empire, not part of the government, not part of anything except their own independent, sustained, continuing, decades-long, committed research. Wow. Those are some interesting people to talk to. Some interesting people to talk to. You bet. They have already asked themselves the question, what can I do? And they have answered it, and they continue to answer it with their work. And one thing I've noticed about some of those people is that they develop a sense of humor. Not just a little bit, but a lot. A lot. Why is that? And why is that important? Because it gives them more freedom. It gives them more operating room. It gives them the capacity to be deadly serious and funny at the same time. It stretches them as human beings. It expands their vistas. They aren't just waving a banner endlessly, repetitively, boringly, stultifyingly, repeating over and over the same heavy thing. They have breadth and depth and scope and so forth. In other words, they're better than they used to be. They're better than they used to be. They know what it means to deploy their own imagination. It is part and parcel of their work. And I don't care how close their investigations are in terms of documents and sources and so forth and so on, there is always the element of connecting the dots. And the dots cannot be connected just as a breakthrough in any science cannot be accomplished without imagination. Tremendous imagination. And tremendous imagination gives birth to both the deadly serious and the cosmic joke. It is all of a package, you might say. The more one broadens his view of reality and realities, the more one begins to perceive that there is among the deadly serious activity the cosmic joke. That we are all part of a society that is utterly ridiculous in the sense that it does not foster and advance us as powerful, creative individuals. And in the small you, which is the fitting in you, which is, yes, I'm here with everybody else, doing what everybody else is doing and talking the way everybody else is talking and thinking the way everybody else is thinking, then we are paying homage to that insanity called civilization. And if that can't get a laugh out of somebody, they're dead as a doornail. You can laugh or cry, you know, laugh or weep or both. But if you don't laugh, you're dead. The sense of humor is important. The ironies are important. So you answer the question, what can I do? Oh, but that might entail a struggle if I try to answer that question. That might not just be an afternoon's rumination. That might actually take longer. That might involve me in certain things that I don't already know about. Yes, yes, exactly. That's the whole point. That's the idea, that you make a leap The struggle in which you engage to answer the question for yourself, what can I do, makes you a better person, a bigger person, a more powerful person, a more self-regulating person, a more creative person, a more imaginative person, a person with greater energy, a person with greater foresight, a person with greater power. That's what you're moving toward, and the price you're paying is the struggle to come up with an answer, your answer to your question to yourself, what can I do about the world as it is? I'm here. I guess there's no denying that. However it happened, I'm here. I'm living in San Diego or San Francisco or Nome or Mexico City or New York or London or Perth. I'm here. I'm here. Other people are here. What can I do? What can I do? And then you discover, as you engage in this struggle, action, activity to give yourself the answer to that question, which is going to be a project and an enterprise that you are then going to flesh out and create and implement and engage in, as you engage in that process of answering the question, you find yourself different, expanding. Now, yeah, I'm not used to this, maybe, this way of going about asking and answering a question, but I'm beginning to feel my muscles. I'm beginning to feel my oats. I'm beginning to feel my energy. And this is familiar to me. It's not alien. It's not foreign. It reminds me of something. It reminds me of a time when I had some of this going. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So add to all of that the maturity of being able to ask myself the question and knowing I'm asking myself the question, what can I do? Adding everything I've learned over the decades and my intelligence and my perspicacity and so on, and now I really got something going here. Yeah. I could become an innovator. I could develop my own enterprise, which is the response to and the answer to the question, what can I do about the world? Wow. 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 And feel more invigorated at the core for doing it, for engaging in it. Wow. So see, to me, the idea of selling you to you is obvious. I mean, you know, completely obvious. I mean, what else would I want to do? What else would I want to do? Makes you stronger, more powerful, makes you actually do something in the world that can change the world. Allows you to come to grips with a sort of integration of what can you do, what should you do, what do you deeply desire to do, integrating all, well, I mean, fantastic, huh? Fantastic. One might even say that this is the missing element from society, from education. Where is this in a school where the teacher says, okay, look, look, my lovelies, everything has been leading up to this moment. So pay attention. Screw your brains in real tight on this, because all of what you've learned up until now and all that I've been yammering at you about is now going to take shape in a completely different way, because now I'm going to reveal to you a process with which you are at one and the same moment familiar and unfamiliar. It all begins with the question, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do in the world? What can I do to change the world? That is the beginning of the process. And I know that some of you have thought of that question before, and you have used it as a kind of sword and rapier and saber to ward off things and to accuse other people of not being able to supply you with the answer. My God, he's no good. He didn't give me the answer. And she's terrible. She didn't. You say, I know all that, but we're going to take this from a different angle now. We're not going to do it the same way because you are going to ask the question to yourself. You see, my lovelies, that's the way it's going to work. You can't blame me as the teacher for not giving you the answers, or the school, or the college, or your parents, or the government, or God, or whoever, or whatever. You can't. That's not part of this deal. See? Now, if you want that deal, hey, be my guest, because society is full of that. You can find that anywhere. Chums and allies and people who will just help you decline all the way into your old age with that other way of doing things, but that's not the way we're doing it here. No, 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 no. Here, you ask yourself, and you come up with the answer. And the answer will be something you invent, you see. It's not just a sentence that is an answer to a question in some sort of discursive thought. No, this is an entree, a lobby into you doing something much, much bigger with your life than you ever thought you would or could. That's what we're talking about, doing action. And the answer to the question, what can I do, will be an enterprise, a project of tremendous dimensions, you see. That's you answering the question. And I here, as your teacher, do you know what I'm really doing, class? Listen closely. I'm selling you to you. That's it. That's what I'm doing. And there is no system for answering the question. There is no pattern. This is not an assignment where you write me one page and I give you a grade and say, well, B plus, not bad. Okay, now go back to your regular studies. No, 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 no. This is it. This is the jumping off point. This is it, you see. We're on the platform, the launch pad, the edge of the ocean. That's all I'm going to concern myself with as your teacher from now on, nothing else. But I'm not going to supply you with answers. I'm simply going to make sure that you have the opportunity to answer the question for yourself. There are no steps, there's no pattern of how you answer it, but imagination is required. I can tell you that. There is no way to answer this without imagination, and you're going to have to get to it. You're going to have to get to it and dig into it and dream up things, and you're going to have to be writing. And don't ask me, how much do I have to write? How long do I have to do this? Because the answer is you have to write enough, and you have to do this for the rest of your life. That's the answer. That makes you you, the bigger you. The you that can stand outside the game and look in on it. The you that can stand outside the stage play called society and civilization and look in on it. The you that can affect society and civilization. The you that can dream up something better. The you that can believe in your own creative power and your own imagination, regardless of what anyone else thinks or says. The you that is most individually and uniquely you. That's who I'm talking to. That's what I'm concerned with. That's what I'm selling. That's what I'm interested in. That's it. There isn't anything else. Everything that has gone before is prelude to this. This is it. We're launching. And this is not cooperative learning. I'm not looking to see how many groups you can form as a class here, in which you brainstorm and rumble and stumble and bumble and mumble and chatter and yammer and so forth to come up with some pet project. No, 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 no. You may want to do that later, and if you do, that would be wonderful. Or maybe you're already part of some group that you admire. That's great, too. But I'm talking about something separate from that, you see. It doesn't demean these other things. It doesn't reject them. If you believe in a group that you belong to, I don't care what kind of group it is. Wonderful, great, fine. This is just simply an action, an activity, a process, a you-ness that is separate from that. This is you giving an answer to that question. Come hell or high water, no matter where you have to go, how you have to dig in to find it, what you have to invent, what you have to dream up in order to find it. This is what I'm talking about. This is where we're going. This is where you're going. I'm now addressing you all in this separate activity as individuals, you see, which is another, whew, where did he get that one from? I mean, I thought we were all just one cheese melt, cosmic cheese melt, and now he's talking about us as individuals. Wait a minute. Man, I kind of like that, you know? I mean, nobody has talked to me like an individual in a long time, especially saying bigger individual, bigger me, bigger, bigger, bigger me, creative me, powerful me. That's who the teacher is talking to. Wow. Wow, this is getting interesting. I didn't think this would be part of my education. Who knew? Where did this come from? What an idea. And now he just wants me to go off on my own and struggle with the answer to this question and come up with something and, as he said, use my imagination. Well, that's, I'm starting to feel some energy that I haven't felt in a long time here. Yeah, it might be a little scary, but so what? He's not saying I can't talk to anybody else, or I can't read anybody else, or I can't investigate anybody else. He's just saying that ultimately I'm the one that comes up with the answer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What was that book I read 10 years ago where I really was so inspired? Maybe there's something there to go back to again. Let me think of the author and the book and, you know, this sort of thing. Where is that in the education system? Nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. Nowhere at all. Not to be found, not to be found. Why not? Because education, learning, most groups are based on the idea of established authority, which means established information, which means vetted data. If schools, colleges, and so forth were really trying to empower the individual, at some point they would have to back away. That's like a doctor backing away from his patients and saying, you know, I'm going to give some advice about how to become healthy. And before I start treating you anymore, you're going to have to take this advice. That's professional suicide for a conventional doctor. Or a doctor who says, look, there are many things I can do for you. Not talking about a conventional doctor. To expand and extend your health. But you have to do some things too. That works for patients who want to take responsibility. Just like answering the question, what can I do, works for people who want to take responsibility as individuals. Not as a burden, but as an opportunity, as a thrill. Yeah, me answering for me. Wow. Wow. What would happen if I began to write about this on my own? What would happen if I began to read books that I thought might present me moments of insight to answer the question. What would happen if I began to delve into my own real power? If that's what responsibility is, it's sounding better. It's sounding pretty good. It's not sounding like you are responsible. It's sounding more like the launch of a spaceship into another galaxy. That's what it's sounding like. So you could say society or civilization is the lowest common denominator of what you come up with when the overwhelming number of people in it are not doing this process. That's what you get. That is what you get. That's how you get all of these minor characters in the stage play. Where do you think they come from? They come as the residual lowest common denominator, these roles that are written into the play, as a result of people not engaging in answering the question, what can I do for real? That is how society is birthed and expanded and extended and so forth. That's what we're dealing with. And that's why we're dealing with it. That's where it comes from. What would happen, for example, if you began to perceive the ceiling on your life and your capacity to think, to act, to do, to create, to invent, to imagine, to improvise? If you began to see the ceiling that defined the limits of those things as a complete artifact that doesn't really exist at all, does not exist at all. Its presence as some sort of illusion or thought form should be rejected out of hand anytime it crops up. What if you did that? What if you did that? What if you were able to define your own role in life, the small role, I mean, to such a scintillating and lucid degree that you could really see it as a part in a play, a character? Well, you've been cast in the role of Mr. Jones. Yeah, I've been reading up on him. I'm beginning to see how he operates, how he thinks, what he does, what his limits are, how he, works with other people and so forth and so on. I'm beginning to get a feel for this. Good, because we want you to play this to the hilt. What would happen if you could begin to define and see, not just intellectually, but really see that aspect of life, that period of time, that role, so lucidly that you were really apart from it, and therefore beginning to inhabit the bigger you that I'm selling? Sell, baby, sell it, sell it, sell it, sell it. That's my business. What do you want to do when you grow up, John? I want to sell you to you. Excuse me? Yeah, that's my business. I want to sell you to you. Well, good luck with that, kid. I don't know what it means, but I don't think you're going to be selling stock on Wall Street in it, but who knows? Yeah, that's my job. That's my business. That's my thrill. It's my interest. At the same time, I'm selling me to me. It all works together. It's not really two separate deals. And that's very important to understand when you answer the question, what can I do? Is that you are now selling you to you, yourself. It's not, well, I guess I have to enlist in an army of my own making and go through rigorous boot training and put on armor and get on my horse with a lance, even though I hate doing all of those things, because that's the only answer to the question, what can I do? No, 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 no. Just a few minutes ago, I spoke about integrating the idea of what should I do, what I ought to do, what can I do, what do I really want to do. That's part of answering the question, what can I do? You begin to see how these things ebb and flow, the shoulds and the coulds and the can and the ought to and the want to. Many, many people mistake the want to for something that couldn't possibly benefit anybody else. Well, if I do what I want to, that's not going to be an answer to the question, what can I do to change the world? Because whatever I want to do is going to be selfish and self-involved and narcissistic and so, you know, hedonistic, et cetera, et cetera. Really, is that the opinion you have of yourself? That what you want to do is so confining and greedy or whatever? Is that where you think want to lives? Do you think that's the only place it lives? Now, there are levels, I've talked about this before in other Solari reports, there are levels of want to, deeper, wider, greater levels of want to, that you will come across like an archaeologist as you answer the question, what can I do? Somewhere, somehow, you will find something that you truly want to do that you immediately see will also be an enterprise that will have spilling over effects and repercussions and ripples in the world to change the world in some way. Has that potential? Has that potential? The world as it is a fiction that has gained magnificent and wide acclaim and tremendous reviews. But that doesn't give it the kind of staying power that it appears to have. Or to look at it another way, that's all the staying power it really has, is that it's propped up with great reviews and acclaim and, oh, this is wonderful. Yeah, it couldn't be any other way. When I was in that play, when I watched that play, I came to believe, my friends, that there was no other way that reality could exist except the way it's in that play. There is just no other possible reality. Magnificent. Whew. Wow, genius. Yeah, okay. It's genius in exactly that sense and only that sense, that it appears to yield up to you, the audience, that this is the only way it could unfold. This is the only way it could be. Yes. That's called artfulness. Come on. Understand that. That's called art. That's a kind of art. It's a kind of art in which the reader or the viewer or the audience, for that space of time, believes that it couldn't be any other way. This is it. And when you actually put on that play and call it society and civilization and planet Earth, well, that pretty much locks things up. I guess I'm going to be watching this play until, I die. Yeah, if you want to. If that's the ticket that you want to purchase, and this is the popcorn you want to eat, and you want to pay the price for being that audience of that play, then that's what's going to happen. Absolutely right. But instead, if you want to shift, okay, are we ready for the shift? Ready? Here we go. Shift. If that's what you want to do, then you answer the question, what can I do? And you really answer it. And you don't look around for some kind of, yes, you've done a very good job, and I can see that that's a very good answer, as a way of shortcutting the process, short-circuiting it. You don't really want to do that, because then you can forget about the whole thing. That's not the way it works. We don't have a scoreboard. Well, he gave a very good answer to the question. She, not so great. So we'll give him an A and her a C plus. No, 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 no. This is you selling you to you. This is me selling you to you. This is what you can do. And one of the reasons, the selfish reasons that I'm selling you to you is because those are the yous that I like to associate with. And I found this to be true of other speakers at the conference in San Mateo. We didn't talk about this. There was no need to talk about it. I don't talk about this wherever I go. But I notice it, and I would bet that you notice it too. Come home from conversation. Gee, you know, I didn't expect we'd get into all those things. It was kind of odd at first, but, you know, the more we pushed it, the more exciting it actually became. I mean, I feel terrific now. I didn't even have a drink. Yeah. We got into some subjects that, I don't know, it was different. Yeah, sure was, sure can be, sure is. When bigger you talks to bigger you, another bigger you, that is, all sorts of sparks fly, all sorts of things happen. Then you realize, hey, that stage play there, that forever stage play that's meant to convince us that this is the way it is forever, man, that thing is pathetic. It's truly pathetic because you're outside it now. Wow, I bought a ticket to that piece of crap and I was sitting there for 35 years thinking this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Whew, wow. When I'm big you and I talk to another big you, that whole thing just folds up like an old cardboard box. Put it in the garage. Forget about it. All right. That's a somewhat different angle on the talk that I gave in San Mateo, selling you to you. How'd I do? Did I make a sale? Let me know. John Mappaport, The Solari Report. Thanks, Catherine. See you next time.